Hello, I'm Simon Johnston.
And I'm Vanessa Schmagara.
And this is Icons of Relocation, an industry-leading podcast encompassing every aspect you could ever need to know about global mobility.
In each episode, we'll be bringing you expert knowledge, hilarious anecdotes, and valuable information from our guests in the world of relocation. We hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to Icons of Relocation. This week, Simon and I are joined by Rebecca Tarsus, our Global Relocation Director. Hi, Bex. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Really good. I see you've got a little furry pal with you today. So who's that?
There's always a furry pal, and his name is Harley. And he only ever joins when I'm speaking to someone.
He is adorable. He's part of the Icon group now, isn't he? We're going to get him a little t-shirt. Is that okay, Simon? Can we get him a little t-shirt?
I think more clients have actually met your cat than sometimes the rest of the team. It's extraordinary. He does come onto the video calls almost every time. So
absolutely. He's been asleep all afternoon until I did this. So
have there you a go, little dedicated page on the website for just the cats of Icon. So Bex, do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and what your role is here at Icon?
Yeah, sure. I'm the operations director. I've been with Icon for 16 years this year. Everything has changed quite a lot over the years of being there. So I've got an amazing team of property support and the coordinators who look after all our lovely clients.
Amazing. Okay, great. So let's dive a little bit more about what DSP is and what does it cover?
Okay, so it covers UK inbound destination services. So it could be home search and everything that goes with that. So it could be lease negotiations, tenancy checks, check-ins and utility transfers. Sometimes it's preview trips, orientation or settling in. Departure services, which are always so important because it's helpful to have someone who knows the process to help manage you getting that deposit back at the end of the tenancy. And also working with partners on immigration, serviced accommodation, furniture rentals, schooling, and working closely with our Icon Move team.
Amazing. And we do have a wonderful team of experts within the operations department, isn't it, Bex? Do you want to just explore a little bit more about the training that we do with that team?
Training. Sure. Everyone in the team goes out on a home search, so they know what they're actually dealing with. Everyone is MIM qualified, which is Managing International Mobility, and it's a course run by Eura. It's open to anyone in the company, but anyone in the operations team has to do that. And we also have ALA qualified staff, so they have the most up-to-date knowledge on the letting industry, legislation and tenancy knowledge.
Which is key, isn't it? Especially when we're dealing with dilapidations at a later stage down the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in a nutshell, how are Icon's DSP services different from other DSP services?
I think it's because we keep everything in-house. All assignees will have a point of contact. They'll carry out the initial call to explain the housing market and find out exactly what their requirements are for their new home. Because we do all the research and everything else in-house, we know where the difficulties will be. It could be that the budget and requirements do not work with the location, so we can easily guide the families into a solution that will work. Our case management system, MoveWise, means that any one of the team can answer questions on a case due to the level of information it holds. We offer very flexible housing packages, which are made more possible by our Cozy app. And again, because of the qualifications, it just gives us a lot.
And we've got a really good in-house team of and experts and knowledge. And Simon, if I can just direct a question over to you in terms of, when we first started Icon, we've obviously touched based on previous podcasts about how Icon started and the services. How has it evolved from the start to where we are now on DSP services?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Let's go back in history a bit and we'll talk about this. If you go back to the start of the business 23 years ago, I think one of the key issues to point out is that in those early days when we were looking after clients is that I was doing quite a bit of it. And what I mean by that is I was actually in current talk. I was a consultant as well as running cases and looking after different aspects. So the end result is we had a very different view on it. And this is sort of dictated how we look at relocation moving forward. So initially, when we started off, a case came in. I was then looking after the case. I would then go out and do the home search and manage everything. And it became very apparent very quickly that if you want to get the best results possible, what you need to do is actually have somebody who is dedicated to a certain part of those tasks, absolutely specialist in it. And the one that actually really needs to be pulled out as specialist is research. Yes. So the very first person we ever employed, a lady called Jan, lovely, lovely lady, she came in and she just did research. So what was happening is I would look after the case. I'd be working with Jan. Jan would be calling all the agents and doing this all the time, constantly. And then I'd be going out doing the house hunt. And it became very obvious that this is just a much better model, because you've actually got the specialist person working with the agents every single day. When then Jan retired, stepped down, and Rebecca came in very many years ago and has built that role up even more since. So that's sort of the origins of it. And it struck to me in these early days that this is clearly the obvious way to do it. This is how any relocation company should do it, because the results were spectacular. And they're still spectacular now. And it was then a little bit surprised when I was spending more time with our counterparts to realize that's not the normal model. So they tend to do it very differently. And we have just said, no, look, I think this is a much better model. You get better results. You get all that research, that skill sets and knowledge that is in-house. And that's the sort of journey we've been on, sort of really kind of kept that path going. But that's the origins of it. And then because you've got that skill set in-house, you can then do more services, more interesting services. So unaccompanied home searches and all these things. And that's, you know, okay, I'm trying to stay within your question there, as usual, straight off script. But it's a really interesting part. And that's, if people know that part of our history, the rest of it, I think, makes more sense.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to try and get the backstory of, you know, how Icon started and how it's evolved over the years and where we are at the moment. And obviously, going into what Rebecca, you said, you know, the team that we have, the knowledge around that. So, Bex, can I hand it over to you and ask, you know, why do we do everything in-house and how important is that to you from an operational perspective?
So we do it in-house. So since I've worked for Icon, it's always been in-house, the research. However, in the last couple of years, we've set up a dedicated property support team. So you've got experts in the roles that we cover. You've got all the coordinators who are expert in what they do, and they having the property support team allows them to concentrate on what they're doing and concentrate on the assignees. And the property support team know all the agents and can make that side of it work. So together it makes us a stronger team. We have all the relevant tasks.
And the relationships, obviously, that are built with those estate agents, isn't it? That's not just the property support team, but everybody within
the operational
department.
We have a fantastic relationship with all the major letting agents. We regularly get out to see them, and they come to our office to see us as well. So it means that everyone gets to meet them, and it makes such a difference. And I think they're always quite impressed by the level of information that we hold as well on the properties that we're actually looking for.
I mean, Simon, we've said, haven't we, in the past that like the property support team tend to be the heart of everything and really helping in every way for the various services that we offer operationally. I mean, from your perspective, what do you feel that side of, you know, that team offer?
Yeah, I have to say, the property support team, it's just fantastic. They're amazing people. I mean, they really are. But the issue is you've got a team there that sit side by side. They work really closely. They're calling the agents every day. They're working the research every day. But I think one of the key component parts is that, as we explored before, we've built our own case management system. And one of the reasons why we did that is to try and contain all the knowledge that they've got. So the bit I really love, and this is why I'm probably going to go off on tangent there, as usual, is you've got one of the team doing research, and they will discover something about an agent or, say, a block of apartments, and they'll get some more information about that. Now, that information is then captured and put into the case management system. So it could be this new building that's just been launched. Their head lease doesn't allow for pets, for example. So therefore, the owner of the property, the landlord, may want to set pets, but the block won't. Now, one of our team can learn that, put that information into the system, tag it against that address, which is, you know, longitude and latitude, so we know exactly where that building is and everything about it. And then we can deal with that. Now, a little bit later, so let's just say the following week, we get another case, very similar bit of research. All that research we did the week before is now relevant for this one. So it's all captured. So the whole team can then actually share and pull this information. So we then get another build, another request for a build and go, well, hold on a sec, this one doesn't take accept pets. So we then start building this knowledge. And if you then scale that up year after year after year, day after day after day, an amount of knowledge, you've then got a property support team with incredible skill sets, real knowledge with all the agents, understanding the area. They go up to London and all the areas, key areas on a regular basis. But you then got a system with multi-million points of property references in there, which is at their fingertips. And that's the whole thing that's really exciting. And it's a bit that maybe a lot of our clients don't see.
Yes.
So we can start with a situation of you can work backwards for that one property we secured. Sorry, this is probably Rebecca's conversation, but hey, I've started it. So you've got this...
Rebecca, you've got a fart to get in there. Come on.
Absolutely can't. Rebecca. You know I'll talk for the next 45 minutes. No problem at all.
But you seem so happy.
I think it's such a cool conversation. You know, I love this because I think this is the bit a lot of clients don't see. And it's a bit that we should be a bit more proud about and express and show. So to secure that one property and have the same... It's just hypothetically, say there's 10 viewings. Rebecca's team would have done research, on deep research, on maybe 20, 30, 40 other properties, which is all in the system. But behind that, they would have looked and considered 100 properties. Now, we can track that whole picture. So we can see what's going on and actually make all that information known to the relocating assignee, but also to our clients and all the other interested parties that may have. And you may go, well, okay, so what? That's fascinating, but doesn't make any difference. Well, it does, because if you look at it from a client's perspective over a course of time, say we relocated 20 people for them, we can then start giving a unique fingerprint about what that client looks like, what the research looks like, where they're interested, what they where they go, what blocks are popular, what are not, which agents are the most popular with this client, and why are they the most popular with that client. All that knowledge gets condensed and is available to Rebecca's team. And this is why it's so exciting.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. Yeah. And again, if you can sort of, it's one of those really frustrating things. You kind of almost want clients to come in and sit with us for a bit and say, have a look and see what we can see. The information we've got, that knowledge we have, it's extraordinary. And that is what we have able to dilute and actually then give to your relocating assignees. But it's very difficult to do that. So hence we talk about it in podcasts. But it is incredible wealth of data.
Yeah.
I think it's also really helpful that we do log all the properties that we consider, because sometimes you'll get an assignee that is particular about the end property that they want. And they maybe go to their client, the HR team, and say, I haven't seen anything like that. They haven't shown me very many properties, but their criteria was so tight, but we may have considered, and this has happened, 70 or 80 properties, but none of them quite fitted it. So we've eliminated them, but we know exactly how many properties we have considered for each and every person and can feed that back to the client in real time, which is really beneficial.
And it's important to see how big the research is, isn't it? I mean, you say, it takes for some of the team members to do anything between 60 to 80. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And to have that data to be able to show the clients on how much the research and how thorough the research has been.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And to be able to then use that data to then show, again, where certain assignees may be living, because, again, that comes up, doesn't it, where clients may
know exactly where they've been looking.
Yeah.
And where they actually finally end up, where that tenancy agreement finally is. But going back to the actual viewings, if someone's got a pet, a cat or a dog, they may look online in a certain area and see 50, 60 properties. We may only show them 5. And that's because it really does limit the amount of options you can view when you've got a pet. And it's only by calling each and every property that you know whether they will or won't, every single agent about that property. So, you could easily contact 50, 60 properties to come up with 5 or 6 options that are pet friendly.
That's always a challenge, isn't it, for the team when it comes to animals and pets. We've had a few exotic ones come in, haven't we, Simon, in the past?
We've had lots, actually. I mean, a horse.
It was a horse.
Yeah, we had a horse. I think my favourite one I had ages is quite a long time ago now, but you know these things don't escape your memory. Thankfully, it wasn't in the London, but I had somebody relocating from the north of the country to the south of the country, and they had a, and I quite literally mean a field of exotic sheep, and they had to be relocated as well. So that was a logistical challenge, but we had to then do the research to make sure that we found a property that fitted all their needs, of course. But we then had to make sure that the ground around it was satisfactory enough for the sheep. But it was also the right type of ground, because if I remember correctly, it couldn't be a certain type of soil, because that would actually have an impact onto the feet of the sheep. And I'm a little bit hazy on this, it's a while ago, but I remember saying again, gosh, this is an interesting one. But you have that ability to have that knowledge and then pull that in-house. And again, what's the chances you're ever going to get asked about that again? Slim, but hey, we've got the data. We have that information. We know it all. And I think that's really cool. I think, so another example I was thinking about when Rebecca was talking about is we can really understand the client's issues.
Yeah.
So we can sit with them. So I remember, obviously, we don't get into clients, but there's one client who, again, Rebecca, correct me, I think it was that you couldn't rent a property above the third floor on the block, I think it was. There was a limitation
eight.
About how
yeah,
high.
Yeah, 8th floor.
Thank you. So therefore, we had to make sure, so all the research was collated to make sure that, again, it was precise for that client, and you could tick it against that client. So therefore, if you're doing research later, you can actually go, oh, this property sounds great, but it's in the wrong floor for that particular client. Yeah. We have other clients who have a particular requirements about the landlord. So therefore, when we gather that information, we pull it, we put it in the system, and we then know exactly which buildings are compliant and which properties are compliant. So what you can then start doing is you have a chat with the client and say, okay, is there anything that we need to be aware of? And they go, yes, our policy states X, Y, and Z, whatever that might be. And what Rebecca and the team can do is then actually put that into the system. Say, okay, that's no problem. This is what the client's requirements are. And then as a new relocation case comes in, the property support team have that in front of them. It's absolutely there, and we don't deviate from it. So the end result is that the research might be twice as long, three times, five times as long, but the home search itself is then a really accurate home search. So therefore, they're not going to be wasting their time falling in love with a property that is not then compliant. We've done that. We've done all the hard work up front, and the properties are then compliant. They can choose the one they want, and you have a very successful home search completed in a shorter period of time, save some time, save some money, happy assignees, moving straight to the property. And almost nobody knows the amount of effort that went into to actually find that small number of properties.
Everything allows us more flexibility as well, because it enables us to keep all the clients fully updated at all the time, because we know exactly what's going on in the home search at any particular point, because everything is logged. And all our teams know the best practice for each client, which if everything's being outsourced to somebody else, they're not necessarily going to know all the best practice for each and every single client that they're doing work for.
Exactly.
But everything is.
That links into everything we've done on the quality side, isn't it, Bex? Mm. And you've worked so hard with that and the team, and everyone is working against those best practices and any processes that we have that links in. And as you said, if that's outsourced, how can you manage it and you know,
absolutely,
keep track of it? So if we could also, since you spoke about flexibility, obviously we get asked a lot around our pricing, and we always try and say that we are flexible around our pricing. I can, Bex, if you want to start off with it, and then Simon, feel free to jump in. I'm sure you'll have a comment.
Well, if you insist.
We really can be totally flexible with our services. Yes, we have sort of a standard, these are the services we offer, but if we have a client that comes to us and says, look, I've got a new case and we really only want to be spending this amount of money or this amount of time on it, we can come up with a service to suit that. And that's mainly because we've got the technology in-house. We've got the Cozy app, and then we'll come on to.
Rebecca, do we want to start that conversation?
Not right this second, but we will come back to it. The Cozy app allows us to provide a lot of knowledge and information which can enhance any service. So if someone came to us and said, we've got £600, what can you offer us? We can come up with a beneficial service that will help duty of care, look after their assignee. It doesn't matter what the budget is or what the time is, we can create something. Go on then, Simon.
We know you want to get
itching.
You can tell, can't you? I think I was edging forward in my chair. I think one of the things which I really love is that you can have a chat with a client and they can say, well, okay, it's all about how much time we're spending together in the field, in the sense of how many days of accompanying home search. And you go, well, yeah, but that's part of the story. But there's more to it than that. It's the old expression, if you've got a certain amount of time to chop down a tree, then spend at least 50% of it sharpening the axe, because then you're going to really do a better job. And that's, if you like, the same argument you could do on research. Strange analogy, but I think it fits. But you can then actually really sit with a client and go, okay, this is what you want. So you want us to actually spend one day with the client and really maximize that day. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll cost for one day there, but let's put in more time for research. Let's really understand the requirements and build that out. And then Rebecca's team can actually do that. And so you can start looking at different costing models. And this is what Rebecca's alluding to. We can sit there and say, okay, well, how do you want to achieve the success you want? Is there a budget? Is it time related? Is it, there is, there, the assignee's time is poor. So we only have a limited window with them. So we really got to maximize that. So let's really concentrate on the research beforehand, or whatever you want to do. There's so many variables you can play with. And that's a quite good fun. And again, just building on what Rebecca has said, it's really quite interesting to sit with a client and going, okay, so is there a time issue? Is there a service issue? What is it that you want to achieve? And yeah,
Yeah,
because you're right at the heart of this. You know, I'm going to put it back to you, because you do a great job of hosting these things. But again, you sit a lot of time with a client going, okay, let's break this down. And that's really what, understand what you want. And then we can onboard that. And then that's clearly set. And then Rebecca can actually and her team deliver it. And the fact you can break these things apart is super cool.
I agree with you, Simon. I guess that's exactly, you know, how we've always approached our clients, is that we are very bespoke to what their needs and their requirements are. So whatever service they have, some still like to go down the package route. We can still do the package route, because we've got quite a few clients that Absolutely. Still want to have the traditional packs. And of course we can do that. And then others, as you say, that we are bespoke to exactly the assignee's needs. And that's the fun part of onboarding. And I think that's what we enjoy doing. Rebecca and I, everyone jokes and calls us Thelma and Louise, and we, you know, we work alongside each other for everything. But you know, from a quality perspective too, it just means that we are implementing it from the start, best practices and processes that are specific to that client. And again, that also helps for the operational department. And, you know, it's all about communication, I think. And that's the key. And we with clients a lot of the time, and they've said in the past, where other providers may have fallen, is that it's down to how often we communicate. And we love to communicate at ICON, and we keep communicating with our clients. And Bex, that's down to the team, and you know, that you have, everyone is fantastic and making sure that we're completely keeping the assignee and the HR department up to date. There's obviously reports that we do, and so on and so forth, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the team are together in the office, which I think is really important as well, because then they learn from each other and listen to each other and know what's going on and pick things up. So it works really, really well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's important to get together. I love, you know, being with the team and listening to everyone's, you know, when they've spoken to an assignee. And that's how we all learn and grow. No matter how long you've been in the industry, we're all still learning and growing, right?
From, we don't know it all. None of us
yeah,
know it all.
Exactly.
There's always that crazy question.
It always ends
like
up
relocating
coming to
the
work.
Sheep. Yeah.
Like relocating the sheep.
Yeah, but we did have tortoises as well. There was a serviced accommodation request.
Did.
I think
yes,
it was 10
did.
Tortoises.
Yeah.
So the balcony, I didn't know if they're going to go out on the balcony or not, but obviously you couldn't have a big gap around the bottom of the balcony because we didn't want tortoises falling off.
That's a lot of tortoises. I don't know. What do you call massive tortoises? That's probably got a name. A collective noun for tortoises. Anyway, that's probably not relevant for this conversation. But it does link in, I think, probably quite nicely to data. And I know everybody's going to tut and raise an eyebrow going to talk about it. But
we have
gonna,
to talk about data. It's important.
Yeah,
and
I'm
we are happy
in.
To direct that to you, Simon. So.
Yeah.
A collective name for tortoises is creep.
Creep?
Creep.
A creep of tortoises.
I
yes.
feel like a song coming out.
See, we've been educated again.
There you go. See?
Yeah, we'll try and weave that into the next conversation somehow.
So yes, Simon, you know, data, it's important. We joke about it, but it's crucial to what we do. So yes, I'll pass it over to you.
I have such a bad reputation on these calls. It's terrible. But yeah, one thing I say about data and relevance to this, and again, I think this is interesting, so hopefully other people do, is that because we are collecting all the research and we're pooling it, we measure and monitor the rental market in ways that I think a lot of maybe people don't recognize or understand what we're doing. So to give an example on this, and this is throwing out stats, but hey, I love stats, is that at any one time, because of the way that we operate and the way we work and because of the case management system and the way we actually track everything, we can give our clients live rental prices on 130,000 different variables on 15,000 different locations across the UK instantly.
That's impressive. And I think,
That every now and again, I sit there and go, wow, that's a lot of numbers. But again, you say, okay, well, fine. So what? Why does that matter? Well, the reason why it matters is that a client can come to us and saying, right, I'm thinking of relocating somebody to this location. This is what the budget is. We can say almost immediately, right at the beginning, okay, well, maybe we need to look at that budget, at that location. Stock levels there are quite low at the moment. You know, in theory, this should work, but there's a real shortage of stock. So why don't we have this conversation about widening the net slightly? Is that okay? What can we look at? This is before the relocation that even ever starts, and before the relocating assignees come in. We've dived into this. We can have that level of knowledge and sharing with them. So, and then when we actually start the relocating assignee, we're in the position of strength. We understand the market. The client understands the market. We can give all this information. End result is you actually get a result better, quicker. You've got a happier client, happier assignee. Everybody is actually feeling really strong about and happy about it. And it all comes down to quality of service and the team, obviously. I mean, that's the heart of everything. But the data behind it is extraordinary. And again, I'm just going to stand up for poor little data because it sometimes doesn't get enough of a shout out on this because it is incredible what you can do. And again, I'd love the challenge if anybody else is actually feels they've got equal data. Great, let's have a conversation about it, talk about it, because I think most people will be stunned at what we've got. And that is why we can do a relocation differently. This is why we can deliver stuff in a way that a lot of our competitors, and they're brilliant competitors out there. I'll never talk them down because they're so good. But because they're so good, we've got to be better. And we've got to find a way of delivering a rounder service and a more deeper service. And I think that is what Rebecca and her team does and data does. It really does make everything pop. So unbelievably, I'm not going to talk about data much more than that, but I'm so tempted.
It links well with Cozy, though, doesn't it? So if you want to add in a little bit more about Cozy, we've obviously done a podcast. Mm. If any listeners haven't heard that podcast, please go and have a look at that. But Simon, do you want to just have a little bit to say a bit more about Cozy and how that links into DSP?
Okay. If you understand. So Cozy, so again, I get excited about the strangest things. I always think this. But it's again, if you have all this data sitting on the system there, there's two things we do. One is to make sure all the team has this information. So it's bubbling back to them in real time. And this is what the property support team are doing. And this is what the case management system and Rebecca and their team. Just fantastic, the level of knowledge. But we were sitting there a while ago going, we have all this knowledge. It's extraordinary. It's like we tracked how many questions we get asked and put that in. It's in the app, by the way, clue coming. So we thought, okay, well, can we bottle all that and put it into an app? I'm thinking there might be a few hundred questions we get asked. It's not. We're over 4,000. I think it's nudging 5,000 questions we've now captured. Over 1,000 different topics. All that knowledge that we've captured. And again, because you've got the team sitting together, because you can pool it, you can put it all into the heart of the system. And then it gets back to Cozy. So Cozy, for those who don't know it, is our app that we can provide to our relocating assignees clients. And they have access to a lot of our database knowledge. So you can use the app to then say, okay, well, based on my personal circumstances and my budget and everything else and my commuting distance and where my point of work is, the app will then start diving into our database to start giving you suggestions of where it might work for you. Not only will it give you suggestions, it will tell you what the stock levels look like, it will tell you what the average price looks like, it would actually give you an overview of that area, it will give you maybe a cross-section of properties so you can see what you can get, it will then give you information about the schools in the area, it will give you all this information, plus you have access to Cozy Chat and so much more. You have access to our libraries and all this information. So the fun thing about this is we're trying to take all the knowledge we've got and trying to package it in a way that a relocating assignee can download the app and obviously have access to it and then get that information within a few minutes. So the idea is they could be sitting in the airport and just get it there for them.
Sorry to interrupt you, but all that information and knowledge is actually knowledge from the team.
Yeah.
Right?
Back to Rebecca and her team.
Whilst we've got the most amazing tech team that have built it, it's sort of been created and helped along by the people who know the industry. We know where the assignees need help and we know what their pain points are. So it's a solution to help with that.
Yes.
And it's the knowledge of us. It's not just the tech, it's the combination of, which is
really important. And that is key, isn't it, Bex? Because ultimately, we're not taking away the experience of having the somebody to talk to. This is a tool to support. So, and that's quite a key element to it, isn't it? It's great and it offers so much to be able to provide and report and so on, as you said, Simon, from a data perspective. But we've also got a team that are behind that system, that are making that system work.
It's all about the team and the team's knowledge. It's just capturing it all and then bottling it in such a way that allows clients to access it and the relocating assignees to access. But it kind of also, I think, it makes us very future-proof. And I'm actually really excited about where things go in the future. I don't know what both of you think, but I think that the future of DSP and what we can do is stunning. I think, we could explore it a little bit now, or we can explore it later. But
yes, I'd like to hear your views. That was actually a question I was going to ask you. What do you think of the future of relocation?
Yeah, sorry. I got in there a bit quick, didn't I? I think the interesting thing about the future, if you look at pretty much anything these days, so forget relocation for a second. If you look at, booking a holiday or either banking services or online, you just have that access to all this information when you want it, how you want it, when you want it. Everything is designed to make sure that you have as close to real-time information as possible, that somebody can actually access the data they want when they want it 24/7. They can really start asking for more of a tailored, unique service. So if you take that mindset and you look at it elsewhere, and you then bring it back to DSP, or certainly for us, what I'm really interested about is making sure we are future-proof. So what that means is that you can sit with a client and going, it doesn't matter which way the wind's blowing for you. So if you want us to actually increase the quality of service and depth of it, you want us to spend more time in the field, you want more time there, no problem at all, we can do that. Likewise, if you then say, no, what we want to do is be able to do more things where it's more digitally led and we actually have the access and talk to you when we want to talk to you and dive into it, we can do that too. So you're looking at pretty much any variable. I mean, as we all know, we're trying to be a very agile business to recognize that clients need to change and we should change with it. And we've modeled out pretty much every variable I can think of under the sun about what a client might want. And it's really satisfying to sit there and you look at the team, you look around, you look at you're going, yeah, the answer is yes. I'm struggling to find a scenario that a client might come to us and actually go, no, we can't do it. So the future, I think, is really interesting. So I think it will be far more digital going forward. You expect the app, you expect everything else, you look at that and elsewhere. But the thing about that is all of that information is powered by people, by team who absolutely know their stuff, deeply, deeply know it. And so therefore, you can access it when you want it and how you want it, knowing the team is there. And if you've got that nucleus, you can build it up however you want. Think of a concept. Again, you two are amazing. I mean, you just sit there and go, yeah, of course, no problem. Let's talk about that onboarding. How do you want us to do that? How do you want us to carve it? And so therefore, I'm not worried about the future. I'm not worried about sort of technology and everything else. I'm actually quite excited about it. Bring it on. I think the future is going to be amazing. I think next 3 or 5 years could be an area where we start seeing a sort of almost a rethink of how you can share knowledge and relocation. I know I'm getting a little bit over the top on this, and I know people might be listening going, God, it's off on one again. But I'm not, because it is really, really interesting where this is going. I'm really excited about the future and what we'll be able to do. So
I agree.
I don't know if you've got any views to add to this.
I was going to say the future is flexibility. So the standard traditional home search will always be there, but you need to have a portfolio of options available to suit any relocation from the executive to the lump sum.
Yeah.
Needs to be a whole suite of services.
And that's what we are always working on, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Is having a portfolio, which we do. And we're proud to say, and as you said, Sam, and Bex, you've said the same thing, we are, yes, you know, what does our client need? Of course we can help. Of course we can do it. And Simon, that's where, you know, it was born to do the corporate housing element of it. It was you saying yes. There wasn't a model for that.
Yeah, you see, that's a really good point. So, I mean, we've done corporate housing for forever from day dot, really. And for those who are not familiar with that, this is if you've got people coming to the UK and then maybe rotating your talent into the UK, we can set up housing and manage all that. And it's much more cost effective than, say, service accommodation. And it is amazing. So we can look after all that aspect. But the reason why we can do that is because all the skill sets in-house. So that knowledge of looking after and looking after a client, that knowledge of finding, securing a property, the team who can go out and sort things out and can put all the furniture in. And Rebecca and I talked about this before, about the things we've gone out and done and installed. You name it, the answer is always yes, and we can do that. So you start coming up with these amazing range of solutions. So again, if you look into the future, I think we're going to be a situation where, going back to this question again because I like it so much, but you're going to see that there will be a lot more unaccompanied home searches, if you like, duty of care services, which I think is really important for your graduate programs, everything else. But you can do something amazing there. That middle ground, if you like, traditional part will continue, but I think we can see variations of how that be done. We can sort of spend less time in the field, more time in research, and really combine that. I think that would be super cool. Whilst at the same time, you've got the top end, you've got the executive level, where you want the ultimate service to really make sure everything's done to perfection, because your top executive is time poor. But the whole experience has got to be amazing. So the beauty about this is I think all those things are going to happen. You're going to have a more diverse range of relocation services moving forward.
I agree. It is, as you say, it's a diversity of all the different types of, you know, and interestingly, we've spoken about this. It's also, you know, the age groups that we are relocating, because those between 20 and 30 tend to be very tech heavy and might not want to be speaking to somebody constantly. They find to have a chat over WhatsApp or on a chat, but actually physically talking to somebody. Bex, I mean, you've noticed that within the team, isn't it, that your team are saying there are more people wanting to just
use WhatsApp. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So again, that's future-proofing what we're doing, and by having the app that we have too with Cozy, it's suitable for that, as well as being able to include it within a traditional home search.
Absolutely. And the chatbot allows everyone to actually have access to questions and answers 24/7, so it's there for them.
And it continually grows. That's the other thing about it, by the way. It's we actually say to a lot of people is that it's only got 4,000 questions in there. So, but if you think of another one we haven't got, love you for life. That's brilliant. You know, so ask it a question that we haven't been asked before. I don't want to go about this conversation because you ask some strange questions, but. It is all in there, and that's great. So when somebody asks a question and the system comes back and goes, gosh, I've known that one before, go, no problem. The team will then rally around that, and every answer that's been put in is then put in by one of Rebecca's team. So that could consider put in there and go back and go, great, thank you for that question. Here's a better answer. So probably in a year or two's time, makes you wonder how many questions are going to be in there, how much data will be in there, what are we going to do with that? And again, none of this is taking away from the people, because every single one of those words,
those questions,
everyone has
from
been typed in by one of the ICON team.
Well, great. Thank you, Simon and Bex. I think it's been a really thorough conversation. But is there anything else that you think we haven't covered?
One of the things we haven't really talked about is the fact that our close relationship with the letting agents is a very professional close relationship. It means that if there is a requirement where we really need to work close with the agents, they understand us much better, we understand them much better. But that also does lead to the situation where if an agent perhaps hasn't performed quite as hoped, our close relationship means that we can really work with them and address that. It's taken a lot more seriously because one of Rebecca's team might go up and see them, or they'll come down and see us, or have a team meeting to really explore that and discuss that. It sounds secondary, it's not. It's really dealing with issues. You know, so something's not quite right with a particular agent or a particular office. We can capture that, talk about it. We can even report on it. Maybe I'm talking about this now, but it's one of the things I'm always fascinated we can do is you can start looking at, if you're doing research a particular location, which agents are the dominant ones, which ones have actually got the most stock at this precise moment in time, which agents are going to be the most the best performing, which agents do we actually have the base, you know, feedback on, and all that can be pulled in. And then you can have a review meeting with the agents. How many other relocation companies have review meetings with agents? We do,
and we do feedback as well on each. So when we're doing bookings or lease negotiations or whatever else, we are actually sort of scoring our partners that we're working with, which provides amazing feedback as well.
And that links into relationships, doesn't it? As you say, Simon. Mm. I mean, it's the relationships we've got with the estate agents, but relationships as a whole with everyone that we work with, whatever service it is, and the different partners. I think that's really key, because the three of us are heavily involved in that and in having those relationships. As you said, Bex, you know, the area consultants, you know, they're fantastic, but we obviously also are constantly making sure they are following best practices and links into what our processes are. And obviously we do a thorough check on anyone that we work closely with, and that's a key part. But that our system also allows us to be able to rate and have those conversations, whether it is with an estate agent or an area consultant or a partner that we're working closely with, to evaluate that case and the support that they've been able to offer. But we've got great relationships across the various,
we have
partners that we use.
I think it's easy working with us because we have got the tenancy knowledge and everything else, so we do know what we're talking about. We know if it should be in a short-hold tenancy or a company let, and we know that doesn't always happen. We know that some agents that have sent out the wrong documents for the wrong sort of tenancy, but all of us can pick that up because we all have the training.
And we've even had some of them on podcasts with us in the past, haven't we, Simon?
Oh, we have. We've actually had podcast recordings from most of the major agents. And I think I'm right in saying that we're pretty much the only relocation company that has that sort of relationship, because if I do remember correctly, but I'm trying to be polite, the lot of the agents saying that obviously their relationship is predominantly with the consultants elsewhere, where with us is with us. So they can really sit with us and actually going, okay, so what's the icon view on things? How does that work? And tell me more about what your requirements are. And being able to do that, as I said, I think almost all the major agents we've had on podcasts, or we've actually met with them, or we've had sessions with them, I think there's quite a lot of stuff we're doing with them, which is probably not obvious. But what it does mean is that if there's a problem with an agent, really well positioned to address that. They take us very seriously. I think we're probably one of the, maybe even the biggest sort of single source place or business on the relocation industry for a lot of these agents. They take us very seriously, and we take them seriously. The end result is that bubbles through in the service.
I think some really great points have been raised in this conversation about the UK domestic side, and I hope it's given our listeners a really good insight into the way we work and what happens in our Icon DSP team. Ultimately, we're together for the journey. Thanks again, Bex, for joining us today. Simon and I will be here next time for another episode of Icons of Relocation. We look forward to exploring more on our international supply chain management and our global services.